This show is very not safe for work. The works being read do not represent the views of the hosts or guests. This show is a roast and should not be taken seriously.
All right, Logan, you get to read this. Apparently the last page, because this is in progress, so the pregnancy has to happen at a future time.
I was promised M-Preg!
And you got shafted.
It's not my job to read all the way to the end. Oh, wait, it is my job to read all the way to the end.
Yeah, something you don't do that well these days.
Hey!
Got his ass.
I'll back it up.
Beep.
Oh, yeah.
Beep. Beep.
Gotta back it up.
It's Friday Night Fanfiction Season
12.
Super hilarious, mega funny intro bumper or whatever.
Give the track a gun.
And we are Rick and Morty-ing.
Rick and Morty-ing. Danny senses that Amazon is delivering somewhere on your street right now.
No, he's barking at the dryer.
Boo-hoo!
What?
Boo-hoo!
Why is somebody on Facebook asking me to borrow $5?
Hey, Dave.
What?
Can I borrow $5?
Do you... No.
Come on,
do you
man.
Really, do you need $5?
Yeah, I need to spend... Yeah, you know, I need $5 to get a sandwich or something.
Sandwich or something.
$5 foot long.
This is Friday Night Fan Fiction. I am your host, Steve-O. Joining me, finally, we got all five again. David, Logan, Valerie, and Sean.
Oh, hang on, I gotta leave.
No! Come back, Logan!
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. I don't need you to go off and play more Strive. Which one should it be?
Let's do the pregnancy fic.
The M-Preg one? I have to go back and find which one that was.
Why would you have deleted that tab? That was
those. You know what? Rules. Let's just go with this one anyway. All right, Logan, you get to start us off tonight with Flowers for Your Heart by Shelley Yum. It's going to go in here, and it's going to go in here. There we go.
Good old Shelley Yum.
Yum! Summary. What couldn't be denied about Jotaro Kujo was his ability to feel, if deeply, and when the past confronts him in the form of Noriaki Kekyoin?
Yeah, Kekyoin.
Kekyoin's awakening, Jotaro Kujo is taken to the memories of his life from the beginning, final confrontation, survival, and can Jotaro reconcile his love for Kekyoin despite the heavy burden of survival? Okay, never mind. Moving on to a different one because the summary is already boring.
Why did you fucking download this?
I just grabbed a bunch here.
I told you to grab the pregnancy fic.
I'll look for it again while you read something else. I have to confirm which one it is. Here, you get to read about the new Resident Evil.
You are a vampire and wait, taller than Alcina. Holy cow. And like Alcina big gay.
This is Iumbire Nemuritoare.
Of course it is.
By Phoenix Makes Jams.
You and Alcina knew each other, for you are a vampire as well. Many cowered in fear of you. I mean, who wouldn't? Standing at 9'8 is impressive. You and Alcina wrote letters back and forth. You telling her of your business. Her telling you of her own. Then one day...
She invites you to go bowling.
When you were unsuspecting hunter's dick.
Unsuspecting hunter's dick.
You had to go into hiding, sending no letters to Alcina in fear of someone finding you. Unknown to you, she was worried, but she know why. Oh, she didn't know why. For you were only a business partner and friend, right? She soon grew more worried as months passed. Danielle, what if she died? She asked the blonde of her daughters. She was sat in a fainting couch, her legs rested behind her. Wait.
What?
Like, her,
her legs...
Oh, beside her. That makes more sense.
Does it?
No.
It makes more sense than being, like, with your legs held behind your head like you're being fucked.
I feel like this accent might be creeping into your actual voice.
Well, I have no idea what you're talking about. This is my regular voice.
That's how Logan speaks all the time.
Yes, this is our good friend Logan, who we've known for a very long time.
Hey, you know me long time.
He's vampire at 9'8". That's why he's so good at Guilty Gear. He's so tall.
Yes, I can press the keys good.
He can press the keys good with his long, withered hands.
Perhaps hanging from her hand. Mom, with as strong as she is, I doubt it. There's a possibility. What if she forgot about me? Mom.
Mia.
It would be hard to forget about you. I promise. Tiffany piped up from where she sat on the couch opposite of Alcina, her legs swinging slightly over the edge. What if she married a man and he is no good? Mother.
Fucker.
If she married a man, she would have told you. Is that the worst you could think of? Sophia said. Not looking up from the book she was flicking.
Sir, I believe you have the wrong number. Please try 3246.
I'll flick your book good, you bastard.
I beg your pardon? You have the wrong number, sir.
Yes, men do no good. They lie and cheat. She snarls, angry that you had suddenly stopped writing, but worried you had forgotten her. She didn't know why she felt this way. She didn't show that she was, though. She didn't show that she was, though. She stood from where she was sat. I am retiring to my room. If you need me, call for me.
No, Logan, you can't retire. We can't do the show without you.
I'm too old for this. I'm no longer 12 anymore, Steve.
Yeah, he's 13.
I'm a fucking grown man at 13 years old. It's time for me to move on.
We never threw you a bar mitzvah. That's right. We need to do that.
Yes, I need to learn how to speak Yiddish so I can go more.
You got the accent already half down. How much do bar mitzvahs cost?
I am guessing a lot.
Bar mitzvahs typically cost between $10,000 and $40,000.
God damn, these Jews got a lot of money to blow on birthday parties.
If you're planning a bar or bat mitzvah in New York City or L.A., you could spend upwards of $100,000.
What the fuck?
Jesus Christ. You know what?
Then you hide your gold?
I'm not hiding any gold in the asbestos tiles in my house.
I thought you got rid of all the asbestos tiles.
You had your asbestos removed. Now it's replaced with some other thing.
He replaced the asbestos with gold. It was a cover-up.
I did find it hard to get traction in your house last time I was there, so that explains a lot.
Yeah, that's why the fucking Hanna-Barbera kept going whenever you tried to walk anywhere. Jesus Christ, it costs $65,000 to have a bar mitzvah in New Jersey.
It's close to New York.
Oh, right.
Stupid. Did you fail geography?
I never took geology.
That explains a lot.
Yeah.
I did flunk geometry in high school.
Literally how? It's just shapes. You'll learn about them when you're fucking two.
He couldn't put the triangle into the square.
You couldn't put the triangle in the square hole?
I really sucked at tangrams.
Your mom should have gotten you bananagrams. Then you could at least focus on it because, it's a banana.
Like bananas.
And with that, she left the room. The wind howling outside, the mansion creaking softly. She went to her room, the only place she could be herself. Locking the door behind her, she made sure there was no one near her. And when she was sure, her tough exterior broke, and she slumped to her knees and began crying softly, her makeup running slowly as she cried more and more.
Wah.
The night soon came, and she went onto her bed and curled into a ball. Wishing and praying you were safe and are not married to a man. Chapter 2.
Married to a man.
Into Nilnim, then no. When Alcina had awoken, the air was chillier. Chiller. There was a storm coming in more than one way. She got up from her bed, scolding herself for sleeping in her dress. She walked to her closet. Where were all her dresses? She rolled her eyes and rang for a maiden to come. After waiting mere moments, she heard the patter of shoes coming to her room. The door was then knocked open, and a maiden walked in.
I'm really loving getting this history lesson about 1850s Hungary.
Where are my dresses? Her tone was cold and menacing. Being washed out this, the small girl squeaked, Alcina sighed. Leave, I must change. Luckily, I still have a seat. Next time, maybe do your job faster. She snarls.
Wait, why can't I connect to the internet? Sir, we're performing server maintenance.
Maybe next time, do it faster, you loser. Maybe they don't whip you enough down there at the server holder.
What? David is the only one here that does actual networking. Do you work in a server holder?
Yeah.
Hey, and they whip you down there.
No, I do the whipping. I'm high enough in the food chain now.
Ah, you are the Scourge Master.
Yes.
I wish we could bring back scourging in public.
It was a much simpler time back then. We also got prescribed cocaine for colds.
And ghosts in your blood.
Yeah, now we just get prescribed cocaine for eye surgery.
Yeah, just rub it on your eyes.
So if I go get LASIK, can I get cocaine for my eyes?
Probably not LASIK, but certain kinds of eye surgery, yes, they actually do still prescribe cocaine for.
Cocainum.
Machines that hold medicine at the hospital I worked at had cocaine in them.
Cocainum.
Humans, so scared.
All right, especially next
in
up.
My page.
Yes, I was about to say who was next. Thank you very much for reading, Logan. Next up is me.
You're welcome.
And then Sean, and then David. Unless, David, do you want to go earlier because of bedtime?
I'm not reading tonight. I'm just being a guy. Cocainum.
Cocainum.
All right. No, I'm not trying to read Babysitter's Club.
Why not? It was so interesting.
We didn't finish it.
Like, we didn't even get to the part where the graveyard was on fire.
Okay, fine. When we're done this story, no, we'll get back to the graveyard.
No. I do not want to read more of that fic.
See, it's funny because I don't have to read it.
I want to read this fic until it's boring, and then we can read the JoJo pregnancy fic.
Okay. She began de-dressing. I believe that's undressing, but sure, de-dressing is good. It's like deglazing.
That's what they call it in Hungary.
Did you know that the porn name for Hungary is Gary Hung?
Yeah.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Is this why you chose tonight to sit out?
No, I chose tonight to sit out because I didn't get home until like 7 o'clock.
That's butts. But at least you're certified.
Yeah.
Now we can throw you a server bar mitzvah.
And I get to go to work tomorrow all day.
The problem is I know there are server rooms out there still running on 13-year-old hardware, so they could technically have server bar mitzvahs, and it makes me very sad.
Mine's... What?
Yours is, like, more well-funded than others, but there are server rooms out there still running Windows 95.
Yikes.
Yeah. Mm.
We have a forthcoming decommissioning of a couple of 2008 boxes, but that's about it.
2008, that's 14 years ago. So yeah, those could technically be bar mitzvahed.
Technically, they're also virtualized, so they're not on 13-year-old hardware.
Oh, they're not on like bare metal.
Yeah, they don't count.
No, they do not. Anyways, back to de-dressing, grabbing a suit and putting it on. It was a bit tight up top due to her
chameleon
assets. She sighs, putting her hat back on, walking from her room. The storm was loud. She made her way to the library to read. When she had chosen a book and sat there were three loud knocks on the door, followed by the creak of them opening. Cue Resident Evil 1 PlayStation 1 transition. It's like, I don't need to care. I don't need to know that she was a Jill sandwich. Just give me more of that door porn.
Oh, that was Barry who said that, not Chris Barry? Redfield. Yeah, he was like, you almost were a Jill sandwich.
Heh, please sleep with me. I'm so lonely.
But he's married with a kid.
Yeah, that's why Wesker was able to get to him and he betrayed you. So, like, Steve, come on, know your lore.
Yeah, know your lore.
Yeah.
I died every single time I played Resident Evil 2 right after I solved that fucking bookshelf puzzle.
Why do you suck?
You mean the third puzzle in the game?
Yes, the third puzzle. Yes, I suck at games.
Yeah, I remember how it took him a month to beat the first level in Nights in the Dreams.
When I was 12!
Okay.
Yeah, how many games I had under my belt when I was 12?
I don't know, Dave. Did you have very billowy shirts?
Yeah.
Steve, I had beaten Diablo 2 multiple times by the time I was rolling.
We are in the era where you should be able to play a game and beat it without having to exercise any kind of effort, because variable difficulty should be a thing for every game.
Yeah, okay, dog, whatever.
Dog?
Dog?
Just stop playing video games, everybody. That's the only way they'll learn.
Just give up all your worldly possessions. Give us your worldly possessions. Donate to the compound.
Yes.
I'm glad we circled here. I'm going to go back to the Resident Evil door transition. Who the hell is here? She grumbles as she stands and walks to the main entrance area, stopping at the top of the stairs. You were in front of the door. Oh, I was?
Yes. And the castle as well.
This is news to me. Cold air blew in from the still open doors. You just gonna stare or come here? You joke, laughing a bit. I need the authentic laughter.
Thank you, Kefka.
Would you shut that door? It's cold! She quips. You close the door. And stand straight once more. She walked down the stairs to you, seeming calm, but inside she was freaking out. Hope I'm not late for the meeting. Alcina thought for a moment. Meeting? What meeting? Where's Poochie? The one we had scheduled for tomorrow. Why tomorrow? We planned months ahead. It's just so we'd be free that day. Okay, I'm bored. Let's go to the JoJo Mpreg.
All right. Real story.
Real stuff. Look at the bright side of things. By gaming underscore fanfics.
But we didn't get to the author's note. That's basically a rant.
I was about to make a really bad joke, but I don't want to sleep on the sofa tonight. Anyways! Kira kills a woman who, unbeknownst to him, is a stand user. A short time after taking her hands, he finds himself sick in the morning. He continues on throughout Morio as the symptoms continue on. His emotions are all over the place and he can't seem to figure out what's happening until reality hits. With his plan to get rid of Josuke and his friends, Kira has to protect himself and his unborn child. Chapter 1, look at the bright side of things. Val, you're up.
Okay. So, this is something new. I suck at writing a summary, so bear with me. A regular day in Mario for Kira Yoshikage, the early morning lights woke him up.
Oh, it's Yoshikage Kira. Not, yes. Okay. All right, I know who this character is. He takes people's faces and he's like, I have a better husband than your husband ever was.
Something like that.
Well, fine, then be my husband.
All right, finally.
His girlfriend had made him a cup of coffee and breakfast. He would adjust his tie, put on a suit, and head out to work. Putting his girlfriend in his bag, okay. Kira discided?
Yeah.
Discided. He would take a bus to work today. They passed by surprisingly, quickly. Heading home, his eyes landed on a young woman with black hair heading home. Kira followed her. The woman took out her keys and headed into her apartment on the sixth floor, so Kira followed suit, summoning Killer Queen. He would break the lock and force it open. Making his way inside, a loud scream came from the kitchen, which got cut off after a matter of seconds. Kira held the hand in his own and lifted it, pressing a kiss to the knuckle.
Knuckly.
Knuckles! That kitchen knife could have damaged your hands, dear. Be careful, Tuel, next time. Kira said, holding it while gently running his thumb over knuckles. He would take his leave, not a trace of him having been there. Although, something did feel off about that woman. There had been a brief flash of something right before he did take her hand, but he simply brushed it off as being from the explosion. Kira stopped at the grocery store and bought himself some onigiri and yakitori for dinner.
Grocery!
He did end up disguising to stack up on regular food, so he would be able to stay at home throughout his vacation for the time being. For his dinner, he would have some leftover miso soup. Nothing too special. Like, this person just looked at, oh, what's some popular, like, basic Japanese food that people know about?
Well, we had sushi. What the heck is this stuff on the stick? Yakisoba?
Yakitori?
Yakitori.
Yakisoba is noodles.
Yeah.
Damn, I forgot all the stuff Dave told me about when he took me to Misawa last week.
Cheese rolls.
Cheese rolls! Mm. That's what it was. Cheese rolls. Authentically Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
On his bus ride home, he felt strange. like someone pinched insides every few seconds, but he would simply blame it on the coffee he had before leaving. That's not how it works. When Kira got home, his space, comma, new girlfriend made dinner. Afterwards, he made his way to the sofa and sat down to watch the news. Killer Queen, keep me some company. Kira mumbled at his stand, appeared in front of him and silently moved its hand to Kira's face, allowing Kira to kiss it with a smile. The stand would float in front of him and silently move to undo his tie, making Kira turn his head away. You seem quite eager. Something bothering you? Kira asked as Killer Queen didn't respond, instead slid his jacket off and undid his blouse, making him raise his eyebrow. So he's gonna have sex with his stand? Or anyway.
That is a big thing in the fanfiction universe for JoJo.
Killer Queen, answer me, Kira mildly demanded before his stand let out a sigh, only he could hear Killer Queen speak.
There is something off about you. I can't put my finger on what it is,
Killer Queen explained, only to earn a chuckle. No, that's room.
That's right.
Chuckle from Kira, who gently cupped the stand's face and pressed a kiss to the stand's nose before sitting up and inviting it on top of him. That's what you do with a cat, if anything. Like,
meow.
Meow.
I guess the stand kind of looks maybe possibly a tiny bit like a cat. Anyway.
There's nothing to worry about. I'm just fine, Kira whispered as the stand would silently undo the buttons on his blouse and slide it off.
Killer Queen's hands would linger over his chest before leaning its head down and pulling Kira in for a kiss. Sitting up to get more comfortable? Yes. Kira would hold onto its shoulders and pull Killer Queen closer. Anyway, I'm done.
Okay, next up is Sean.
This had almost become a routine, but he didn't mind. Killer Queen is perfection. He doesn't mind spending time with it during his quiet life. Killer Queen's lips trailed down to his belly button before coming to a halt. Killer Queen?
Nothing. It's nothing.
Killer Queen explained silently, sliding his pants off and turning him over. The stand sometimes felt like a giant compared to Kira and made him feel small. Killer Queen would press Kira's hips against its own and silently trail its hands up to his chest and squeeze one of his pecs, running its fingertip over the hardened bud while spreading his thighs.
Bud,
open, Killer Queen silently demanded as its fingertips trailed up his throat and brushed over Kira's lips. Without a second thought, Kira opened his mouth and felt Killer Queen's fingers slip inside his mouth. Shivers would run up his spine as its delicate fingers would play around with his tonge while coating the two digits in saliva. A small moan came from Kira as his beloved stand would slide his boxers down and midly raise its non-existent eyebrow, but disguised it against making it known.
Sit up a bit so I can pull your boxers down,
Killer Queen whispered as Kira slowly lifted his hips, his hands holding onto Killer Queen's while his boxers were slid off carefully. Killer Queen's free hand wandered to squeeze one of his ass cheeks before spreading it. Killer Queen would reach into her drawer and grab a bottle of lube, taking its fingers out of Kira's mouth, caused a small whimper to come from Kira, a sound Killer Queen hadn't been used to hearing. How else am I going to add the emphasis and the extra L's?
Are you all right?
Killer Queen asked, earning a nod from Kira, who would let Killer Queen push one of its fingers into Kira's holes, causing a small moan to come from the salesman, which got cut off by Killer Queen covering his mouth and pushing two fingers into his mouth again.
Oh, so it's...
So it's a whimpering puppy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Kira held on to it for dear life.
Keep your mouth shut. You're always so loud.
Sean, I'm your superior and you're the subordinate. You don't tell me to shut up.
I'm older than you. Fuck. No, wait. You're older than me. Shit.
Yolder? I think I'm the oldest here.
Yeah, Val is.
So only she gets to tell me to shut up.
Val, tell him to shut up, please.
Steve-O, shut up, please.
Killer Queen whispered before pushing a second one into his tight entrance.
Little more.
Kira chalked out before getting cut
that
off.
That was a perfect beer opening time.
Yeah.
Back, no, to the left. Beep. Keep going. Stop. Beep. Stop. More to the right. Beep. No. Stop. Stop. You're causing fender dip. God damn it, Greg.
Before getting cut off by Killer Queen's hand again, the stand coated its free fingers in lube again and started to push it in alongside the first two. Kira started to move his hips on them moans and gasps escaping his mouth.
Them moans, them dry moans. Ha
ha. The stand would lift him up with a surprisingly gentle touch, which sort of surprised the blonde. Usually, he would simply get bent over everything, but...
Sean, you are just full of sass tonight telling me to get bent.
Get bent.
No, I didn't tell you to get bent. I told you to get bent over everything.
Yeah.
There's a big difference, honey. Since Killer Queen brought up whatever's bothered its mind, the stand seemed more careful, Lolo. Kira's head hit a pillow as Killer Queen would take its fingers out of Kira's mouth. Instead, cupped his face with the palm of it, making the blonde smile.
Is that it?
That's it.
All right, Logan, you get to read this. Apparently the last page, because this is in progress, so the pregnancy has to happen at a future time.
I was promised M-Preg!
And you got shafted.
It's not my job to read all the way to the end. Oh, wait, it is my job to read all the way to the end.
Yeah, something you don't do that well these days.
Hey!
Got his ass.
I'll back it up.
Beep.
Aw, yeah.
Beep. Beep.
Gotta back it up.
Killer Queen would silently pour some lube over its cock and hold onto Kira's hips with both hands and silently moved its hands around, noticing it felt slightly softer. But once again, the stand didn't comment or ask. Holding him still, Killer Queen would push in slowly and earning a gasp from Kira, who would bite into one of the pillows, drool running. No, wait, did I skip a...
No, it's just there's no punctuation to it.
Okay. Bite into one of the pillows, drool running down his chin before Killer Queen started moving, spreading his checks a bit.
Checks?
Checks. It's a giant frame pressing against his back before Killer Queen started to thrust into him, making Kira cry out. There you go. You said I'm the eager one tonight, but yet here you are with your legs spread and your hips pushing back on me. Killer Queen explained, letting its fingertips trail down his chest and slowly started to jerk him off, earning another gasp from him as Killer Queen would continue moving.
Kira.
Ah, Jesus Christ.
That was actually pretty good demon voice.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't even me trying. No, I said that one wasn't me trying.
You just completely did. You know what? I will never put forth effort ever again. Thank you, Logan.
Stop putting in effort.
Just stop it.
Stop. Get some help.
Just stop.
Okay.
Killer Queen said, and the blonde obliged. Turning around to look at his precious stand, he could feel himself get pulled in for a kiss, a smile on his face before he could let out another moan. Before he would let out another moan and clutch onto Killer Queen. Right there. Please.
Right on.
Killer Queen, more. Kira whispered out.
Not whispered.
Whispered.
Yeah.
Out of breath. As the stand would sit up with Kira in its lap and started to move him up and down before coming to a halt as he thought he could see something right on his abdomen in between his hips. A mark of some sort.
A belly button.
A cutie mark.
Which disappeared in a flash. Kira would look down at Killer Queen, his face red as shivers ran down his spine.
What's wrong?
Kira asked, only earning a smile from Killer Queen.
It's nothing. Just thought I saw something.
The stand went back to thrusting until Hira started to buck his hips into his hand. Drool ran down his chin.
Are you close?
Killer Queen asked, earning a few desperate nods from him.
Logan is always close to me, breathing down my neck, making me feel threatened. That's how I know I'm living a good life.
You should feel threatened.
If I don't obey, you'll beat my ass in Guilty Gear Strive.
I'll beat your ass in Guilty Gear Strive if you do obey.
Yeah, that's completely unprovoked. Like, he'll just do it. He doesn't even care. He's like, hey, I know you just did the tutorial and you've never played this game in your life, but get ready for a red up beatdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Logan just agrees. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
The stand would gently grip him and start stroking over and over again while Kira went limp against him, desperately thrusting into his stand.
It's not desperately.
Desperately thrusting into his stand's touch.
This is like a recurring trope. Is there like a spot on the body, like the Vulcan neck pinch, where you can like touch somebody and they will just lose all control of their muscles?
No.
Oh, if you hit them on the spine hard enough.
Yes, there definitely is. But not in the way you think.
Oh?
You do have to hit them on the spine hard enough.
Oh, crap. Never mind. Never mind. I take it back. All I wanted was a funny ha-ha, you've lost control of your limbs for like 2 seconds, not
ha-ha,
eight.
Ha-ha, you've lost control of your limbs for life.
If it's temporary, then usually the loss of control can also include the sphincters and whatnot, like the motor control.
Ha-ha, you've lost control of your pooper for life.
We call that the 1-2 Christopher Reeves.
Oh. Also, thank you for the episode title, Logan. Ha ha, you've lost control of your limbs for life.
thrusting into his stance over and over into his stance touch until he did arch his back and came all over his stance hand, going limp against Killer Queen. He would silently kiss his stance shoulder before feeling Killer Queen's soothing hands all over his back, which he held a strange ache now that had moved so much. Let's get you some rest, Kira. Killer Queen said, lifting Kira up as it watched its user doze off into a peaceful slumber. Still, something didn't seem right.
Feel right.
Whatever.
Next up is Ginger's Inside Story by N01. The summary just says chapter one.
Good job.
I mean, if you're trying to convey some very concise information, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
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 Skipper, you know Hex is on these islands better than anyone else, the professor began. Is there any way to quickly get her back to normal? A large eye peered in on them from outside the hut. Well, it seems like an enlargement of her body.
It'll be quick, but it'll take 8 seasons.
Yeah. They hollow Ginger out and use her as the raft to get home?
Yeah. With Gilligan, the skipper too, the millionaire, and no one else.
So we would need something from inside her body to act as it normally should, and she should return to normal. Wow, that's fucking thin.
That doesn't make much sense, Marianne muttered under her breath before returning to the babysitter's club. When you say something, what exactly do you mean, Skipper?
Well, I've only heard of this mind, but I think if she conceives a child, she should be back to her original size. What?
I'm sorry, what?
What?
I don't know if that's how that works, man.
No.
The follow-up in bold is, what? Ginger loud voice boomed outside.
She loud voice boobed?
She John Maddened outside.
What are boobs?
Nothing else would work, unfortunately. The hexes leave children out of their rituals, and the father would have to crawl inside her and ejaculate inside her womb directly.
What is this, an Oni Plays bit? You're going to ejaculate?
So she needs to have a kid? Ha! Who's going to be the sucker to have to make that journey? Gilligan looked around the room. He looked again and turned. I'll seal it. Just a minute, Gilligan.
Wop, 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 wop.
Wait, you're telling me that none of the other guys want to crawl up a hottie's vagina?
I think Ginger is an old lady.
No, Ginger is the Hollywood star.
Wait, is she the movie star?
Yes.
Okay.
And the professor and Marianne are married, I believe.
They're not, but they're a thing.
Professor and assistant.
I mean, granted, she has the hair of your rival in Pokemon Diamond and Pearl, but besides that, pretty fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, she could get it.
I don't know if forcibly thrown inside her uterus when she's a gigantress.
You're not thrown inside.
No, 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 no. I would, you know, gain permission to be inside her uterus.
Yeah.
Yes.
It could very much be a fantastic voyage at that point.
Yeah. Be sure to just touch her uterine G-spot.
Yeah. It's a real thing.
Go to the uterus. A, B, C, D, E, F, poke.
Ouch, ouch. Ooh, ooh, oh, oh, no.
A little to the left.
The professor and Skipper grabbed Gilligan's arms. You are the only male lithe enough to make it inside her. All other candidates are too large to crawl inside her vagina or already married.
That never stops someone.
I mean, they got a point. This was like the 50s, and you had to maintain the code or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
End quote.
Yeah.
So even while inside her vagina, you have to sleep on a separate bed.
Yeah. It's really weird, but you know what? It's how we ignored the facts of life.
Stop dying.
Only you can save Ginger from this.
And prevent forest fires.
Yes!
Well, she's a ginger, so isn't she already a forest fire?
No, she's a fire crotch.
Yeah, fire crotch.
Forest fire would be if you have an STI.
Oh.
No, that would be if you light her pubes on fire.
Remember the gonorrhea bit from that classic episode?
The one yes. That last got posted?
Yes.
I didn't realize Gilligan's Island was still making material, but all right. Wait a minute. How many seasons would Gilligan's Island be if it were still going on today? Somebody math that out, please.
Well, you just need to look at when it started.
Well, I'm reading right now, so that's why I'm asking somebody else to do it.
You don't know how to multitask.
No, I don't. I'm a terrible leader. Okay, Professor, I'll do it to save her. You're a good man, Gilligan.
I'm going to.
Marianne chimed in.
It started in September 1964.
Oh.
Okay, now do math, Val.
Yeah. Put your math where your math is.
You're so fucking smart. How about you do a single task?
Well.
That was mean. I mathed it out. It's 58 seasons.
And Bob Denver would still be dead.
I think they'll still be making Simpsons at that many.
58 seasons? No, I really do think they're going to give it up at like season 40.
I heard a rumor that in season 25, they required all the voice cast to sign contracts for cryonics so that their heads are preserved to keep the Simpsons going.
Ugh.
So it's Futurama.
They go the Futurama route to save the Simpsons. How about that? Although at this point, I could do without. We need new, fresher material, like that Family Guy.
No.
Yeah, give Julie Kravner a fucking break. Her voice is gone. It's legitimately sad sounding.
Oh.
I don't know how to explain it.
Homer,
it's very much like what her voice was back in, like, Tracy Ullman days.
So it's the, Homer, please summon the lawyer so we can revise our last will and testament?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's bad.
It's bad, dude. It's like it's really bad. Nancy Cartwright, her voice is getting to the point where she can, like, Bart sounds too old.
That's weird.
The only one who's like not having a problem is Yeardley Smith and Dan Castellaneta because, you know, it's just their voice.
Yeah.
Well, Yeardley Smith is a vampire, if anything.
True.
And Dan Castellaneta has the same amount of hair now as he did when the show started, so I don't think he's aged either.
Yep. And now all we need is another Earthworm Jim cartoon, please.
They're making one, apparently.
I know. And it looks good.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to the vagina crawling.
Oh, boy.
Marianne chimed in. This requires a woman's touch, and I can fit too. Very well. Both of you undress and apply coconut oil. This will be a tight fit.
Wow. So they're just going to decide without our input?
Skipper, get two flashlights.
spelunking.
More like spunking.
I will give you two some privacy. Dash, dash, dash.
No, it's dash, dash, dash.
Hey, Marianne, Gilligan said to the undressing woman behind him.
No, not Gilligan.
Jillian.
With Jillian. Gingerbint Gilligan.
Marianne Frank.
Marianne Frank. Here on Gilligan's thing.
Here on Gilligan's. Oh, no. I was going to say Holocaust, and that was bad.
Wow. Oh,
geez, Steve. Why would you go to that?
And Frank.
Oh, and okay, I get
Mary
it.
Marianne Frank.
I know, I get it now. You can stop saying it.
Maybe I don't want to stop saying it, Dave. It keeps me from reading.
Fair.
But wait, haven't you heard of Anne Frank? Don't you remember that one? That one character from that book?
She was a real person.
The one who got married to Goku?
Yeah, she married Goku.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happened.
And they battled Hitler.
Okay, Jillian said to the woman undressing behind him, Yes? Why are you coming with me? You don't have to.
Remember when Sonic called Anne Frank a loser?
Yes.
Yes.
So wait, does Anne Frank for the Sonic says just tell people about the joys of Valium and how you have to be quiet when the Germans are looking for you?
I don't think they had Valium back then.
It's in the diary. I read it for school.
Is it really?
Yes.
Hmm.
Anyways, David slack-jawed in horror, Logan slack-jawed in horror, Sean slack-jawed in
horror.
No,
I'm just looking up when they invented Valium.
He has to know.
Yeah, that's good to know.
I'm looking for Anne Frank the Hedgehog.
Well, I know a thing or two about breeding.
You fucking liar. Diazepam was patented in fucking 1959.
Oh.
Patents only apply to America.
No, it doesn't.
That's not fucking even a little bit true.
So the U.S. Patent Office governs the world?
Yes. Haven't you heard of America, the greatest place on earth?
Okay, I need to stop getting distracted because it is almost time to get our guest. Back to the story. I know a thing or two about breeding. God damn it. Hold on, I have to take a drink.
Originally manufactured, first synthesized in 1959.
Damn, son, look at them big balls.
So what fucking medication did she have? I have to look it up. It was something.
It wasn't fucking Valium.
It was Cocainum.
it was fucking Cocainum.
Cocainum.
I will go back and reread the diary of Anne Frank. We're in very contentious territory right now.
What drug? Hang on.
What'd they give Anne Frank to get her shut up?
What did they give Anne Frank to get her to shut up?
I mean, God, let's be real. Have you ever read that diary? Talk about wordy.
Oh.
This is going to be another episode where so much is edited out.
Oh, yeah.
All right, hang on. Let me try Googling Anne Frank drugs.
It's a bunch of LSD strips, and they all have Anne Frank's diary on it. Look around, you can really feel history, man.
When you want to study and party at the same time.
Dutch right wingers. Hang on, this is the first thing that came up. Dutch right wingers share image of Anne Frank snorting cocaine.
Cocainum.
Cocainum.
All right, so I got to know, to what end were the Dutch right wingers trying to, was it to show that Anne Frank, the Jew that she was, is cocainum? Like, I don't get it.
Oh my fucking God, the picture. I'm looking at the picture right now. It's so fucking funny.
Post it?
Yes, I will post it. It's so fucking obviously doctored. It's hilarious.
Oh, wow.
That's very obviously doctored.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
Anyways, the Jewish Affirmation League has just sent me a cease and desist, so I'm going to continue on with the story. I know a thing or two about breeding, so I can help you out there. She poured some oil on Gilligan's back and began rubbing him. Couldn't you just tell me outside of Ginger's place? Well, maybe I just want to be alone naked with you. Did you think of that? But you could do that at any time. You really should learn to pick up on hints. Now help me lube up.
Don't.
At her size, Ginger easily dwarfed...
New size.
At her new size. What did I say?
You just said her size.
Her new size. Ginger easily dwarfed the Hutts.
Lionel or Jabba? Or pizza?
Well, the Hutts are big and Ginger is bigger, so I'm going to say pizza and Jabba.
I don't want pizza.
And whatever other Hutts exist in the extended universe.
Well, no one out pizzas the...
Valerian, not Valium.
Like that crappy book?
That turned into a crappy movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anne Frank turned into Aragorn.
Oh.
At her new size, Ginger easily dwarfed the Hutts. Her clothes were torn to shreds. Her firm butt, typically held snugly by her tight dress, now left large depressions in the sand she sat in. Her pussy, end to end, was the height of two fully grown men, but was still quite tight. Her breasts were the size of large boulders, and her red pubes were thick and as dense as the jungle, forming a thick crown atop her womanhood. Mrs. Howell boarded the windows and doors to prevent peeping from her husband.
Aww.
Wait, isn't that the one person you'd want to?
No, it's the 50s, dude. You're not allowed to.
Yeah.
You gotta have sex with the lights off, fully clothed.
In the sheet.
Across the room.
Yeah.
It's the old couple.
Oh, right. She sat facing the professor's hut, legs apart and hands spreading her large nether lips. Like, is that how you get to the nether in Gilligan's Island on Minecraft?
Yes, you spread the lips.
Because they don't have obsidian, they had to use a different server mod.
So the entrance to the nether is just a gigantic pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You dump its books and bully it.
Her face a bright pink. Professor, will this hurt? Marianne asked nervously as she emerged from the hut.
Yes.
Skin shining from the oil. I don't want anyone to be hurt from this. Well, talk to Anne Frank's remaining family, because we've hurt them badly tonight.
Yeah, we didn't even let them have Valium. How could we?
Yeah.
It was fucked up for us to not invent Valium for 13 more years.
All right, I'm killing the broadcast if somehow our radio station has not been terminated due to our use clause, and we're going to go grab our guest.
I'm going to blame that one on you.
That's fine. You can blame it on me. I will tastefully edit it.
One insensitive joke about Jewish people. Two insensitive jokes about Jewish people.
Alcia, we stopped reading your story. Stop it.
These are all things real people think about.
I'm a real people.
Yeah.
Hi, Riley. Good to see you. How you been? That's great. Happy to hear it. Actually, no, in all seriousness, how are you?
Doing okay-ish, I guess.
Very happy to hear that. Can you believe this thing about the naked lady on the island?
Yeah, she huge.
Yeah. You get to read more about the naked lady.
I know little to nothing about Gilligan's Isle. All I know is the song.
That's totally fine.
It's okay. I, as a person who was not born a million years ago, also don't know shit about fucking Gilligan's Island.
I see that Logan now speaks fluent Tweezlair.
No, it's Tweezlair.
That was Tweezlair.
Oh, no, I read ahead. Fuck. All right, okay. Go ahead.
Come eat this Tweezlair out of my mouth like we're from fucking Lady and the Tramp.
Send the other end to Canada, Logan, and I will do it with you.
All right. I want to do it.
As long as neither of you scratch or bite, and as long as Ginger relaxes her muscles, she will be fine, as will you. Ugh. It's time. Both of you get ready.
I don't think anything will resolve the mental trauma of crawling into somebody's vagina.
No, just get ready.
I just hope that they remove their shoes first.
Ugh.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to track any sand in.
Oh my god.
It gets everywhere.
Wait, is Ginger's inside like a Asian household?
I mean, that would be nice. If you're a gigantress, you want people to enter your vagina, just leave a mat outside your vagina door.
Yeah, yeah.
The two spelunkers got into position at Ginger's entrance. Ginger, breathe deep and relax your body, the professor yelled up. After a moment, the vaginal canal widened a fair bit, and Gilligan crawled inside.
As it opens, another Resident Evil door creak happens.
Followed closely by Marianne. Smells weird. Gilligan noted.
It's not Gilligan.
Oh, Gillian noted.
Yeah.
I'm more worried about the pressure inside here. If Ginger squeezes too hard, we'll come out as paste.
Nah.
Really? Paste? I'll see you lat. Keep moving. We should be nearly at the end. There was not a lot of room to maneuver. Even commando crawling through Ginger's recesses. The walls encompassed them nearly completely. Marianne was right, though. Ginger could easily crush them by flexing too hard.
Not a good time to do kegels.
It's always a good time to do kegels.
Yeah. Not when two people are crawling inside you.
A little danger can't hurt them, you know, a little smashy smash.
Is this like an alternate version of Alice falling down the rabbit hole?
There's no rabbit, but there is a hole.
Yeah.
Her internal ridges and folds made the terrain unstable and uncertain. The slickness of Ginger's natural lube did not help matters either, making sure there were no footholds nor handholds to guide them.
Oh, so it's like spelunking without any rocks to grab onto.
Oh my god, it's a slip and slide.
Well, hold up. I'm not a biologist, but, like, aren't the insides of vaginas supposed to be, like, folded and stuff to stimulate the penis?
Only the first 2 to 3 inches, then the rest is smooth.
Hmm. It's pronounced vaginer, by the way.
Vaginer. Vaginer.
Vaginger?
Yeah, in this case, yeah.
It is a vaginger.
On top of all that, Ginger's heartbeat provided a fast rhythm of the ground they now treaded, making the entire pink cavern shake every fraction of a second.
She's gonna blow!
Come on, shake your body, Danny. Do that conga. Come on.
Any longer.
Gillian had a worse time of it, though, as his erect cock stabbed into the flesh. It's not a knife.
I mean,
yes, but much like Julius Caesar, who was impaled on the Senate floor, and also Tifa, who was impaled on the Senate floor.
Yeah.
I read it too.
As his erect cock stabbed into the fleshy walls, slowing himself down, but at least Mary Ann liked the view.
Pump, sorry, pump, sorry, pump, sorry.
This goes on forever. What are we looking for again? Gillian called behind him. When the moon hits you, you see a large donut-shaped object.
Like a what? Big pizza pie.
That's what we want to find.
That's Amore, baby.
And those flavor sticks really help out.
Speaking of, I'm going to go grab myself a fun dip.
It should be at the end of this. They kept shimmying their way into the woman's core.
Shimmy, shimmy, shimmy.
I think I see it. It's a large... Wait, the quotation is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It's a large puffy ring with a little hole.
Yeah, it's called a lifesaver. Put it in your mouth and you'll have fresh breath.
That's it. When you get there, crawl inside it. How? The little hole is the size of my head. I can't fit in that. Just try it, okay? The professor said that's the cervix and that...
Oh, no. It's like that scene from Ace Ventura when Nature Calls where he's pushing out the back of the fake rhinoceros.
Oh, no.
Yes.
The professor said that's the cervix and that I can stretch to great lengths during ovulate. Really?
Not great lengths?
During specifically ovulation?
No.
No, not really. But, like, great lengths during, like, childbirth? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Logan, yeah. Definitely. A bit too much, man.
Logan, I don't know anything about ovulation because, as I mentioned before, I failed geometry.
Val?
Yes?
I want you to do me a favor.
Yes?
Take out a good life insurance policy on him.
Okay.
And then stay out of his way.
Okay.
Turns out the professor was right once again. Fancy that. When Gilligan slid an arm into Ginger's womb, the cervix dilated quite easily, allowing for easy passage for the two explorers.
That's not how it works.
No, there's a button. You flash a little badge in front of it and it goes... And the iris opens.
Oh, so it's just like the security office at work.
Yeah.
No, it's the Stargate.
Da, 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 da.
Wasn't that any contact with the cervix in general hurts?
No.
Not quite.
It depends on person.
Yeah, it depends. Like, the more children you've had, the less painful it is. But still, it's gonna sting. Like, it's like... You take a deep breath as you kind of half hold it while they're doing their thing down there.
I mean, if hentai has taught me anything, women love it when you go at their cervix.
Having had 2 IUDs and inserted then removed within like 2.5 months because it didn't want to stand there, the sucker. Yeah.
You think the skipper's just whacking off the whole time this is happening?
Yes.
Sit right down, nearly hear a tale.
I really don't want to think about Alan Hale masturbating.
The inside of Ginger's uterus was much more spacious than the vagina leading up to it. Isn't that usually how it works? Instead of squeezing them to the nines, it comfortably held the two closely. The walls were still rugged and slimy, but unlike the tunnel leading there, the higher ceiling meant that traversing this alien world was actually harder because their arms sank into the wall. The menstrual lining?
No, there's always the urine wall.
Hmm.
They're crawling through the vagina and Boys to Men's I'll Make Love to You is playing on loop the entire time.
Oh. When you see a little ball, that's what we want. Marianne took the left tube while Gilligan took the right. Oh, they're fallopian tubes. Okay.
Whee!
The tubes at the the tubes at the upper end of the womb were still lined with ridges, but the ridges were substantially smaller and smoother than those that came before. That wall is also narrowed when compared to the womb, but it wasn't as tight of a fit as the vagina.
Vagina.
The vagine.
Vaginger. They searched for a little ball for a few hours before reconvening in Ginger's uterus and there too. Was this fanfic written by a gynecologist?
No.
No, definitely not.
No, they got a lot wrong.
Marianne sat in her friend's recesses and began to cry.
Why am I here?
We've been at this for hours and still nothing. What if our dates were wrong? What if Skipper is wrong and getting her pregnant does nothing? Gillian sat next to her and tried to comfort her. After hours of searching, still nothing.
Next up, I believe, is Logan.
Marianne said, damn, that pussy too big.
She got that wet ass pussy.
It's okay, Marianne. If it makes you feel any better, I saw a big ball. It was about the size of a large soccer ball. Marianne, stop crying. You what? Gilligan, that it.
Jillian!
Jillian, that it. Why didn't you say anything? You said it was a little ball. The thing was bigger than my head. After backtracking through the fallopian tubes again, they encountered the little egg and brought it into the womb. The slimy, undulating sphere pulsed with the potential of life in Gilligan's hands.
I can't tell if it's slimy.
Menstruation is literally when Gilligan and Marianne inside your fallopian tubes grab the egg and place it in the womb.
So what now? Marianne slowly crawled towards him, seductively whispering in his ear.
Oh no.
Now is when I help you lie back.
Give me all your money.
Close your eyes and let me handle the rest.
Are we shoving the soccer ball egg on his dick?
No, he just has to come on it. Actually, I don't know if his sperm is going to be able to pierce through, you know?
Yeah, he's got to pierce through it with his cock.
Oh, that's why it's shaped like a knife.
Yes, your cock is shaped like a knife. If you look at knives in a weird way. Marianne laid down Marianne laid down between Gilligan's legs and examined the penis in front of her. Naturally, she had never seen them before. Naturally, she had seen them before, growing up on a farm and all, but never in such an intimate way. The cock pulsed, not unlike the walls around them, wanting to create life.
Or just wanting release.
As with most men at the time, the foreskin had been removed at birth, exposing the cockhead for all its worth.
Steve-o?
I'm fairly certain every single male here besides Sean is circumcised.
Isn't Sean circumcised?
No, Sean is not circumcised.
I am not circumcised.
Oh.
Sean is the one-eyed wonder worm.
Yeah.
Because we asked him, so what does it feel like? He's like, it feels good.
Yeah, it does.
How do you recover from that?
You don't, much like a circumcision.
Oh.
Also, technically, Riley's not circumcised.
True.
Yeah.
Gilligan's testicles hanging low and freely in the sack. With an inexperienced hand, she began rubbing the cock slowly from base to tip, occasionally circling the tip with her finger.
Grab a hold of the joystick.
Wiggle it around.
I love how that feels, Marianne. Jillian arched his back and writhed in pleasure, seeing as their whole lives had been televised for 3 years for the entertainment of millions. Wait.
Fourth wall breaking.
That's breaking the fourth wall.
Was the show like that?
Occasionally.
Was there a live studio audience?
No.
No.
No one had gotten to come in that whole time, so the load that was waiting to come out was going to be huge. Feeling hot and bothered herself, Marianne pinched her clit and furiously rubbed her own lips in response. If her hand was inexperienced at sex, her mouth was even less so. But still, she leaned in and gave Gilligan a long lick up his shaft before firmly planting a long suck on the little hole at the top, bobbing her head while stroking his base simultaneously. From the dull pulses and accentuated breathing from Gilligan, he was extremely close to coming.
I read ahead.
It's a disc.
Pulling her face off of Gilligan's meat, she positioned his cock directly underneath Ginger's egg and redoubled her handjob effort. Come as much as you can. Do it. Slime her insides.
Ew.
Become a father inside a woman you aren't even married to. Drain your balls and coat her egg after the prodding from Marianne.
That one part about join your balls, that's the first time I hear that.
Drain your balls.
I heard join your balls. I'm like,
Jesus, you and Steve need to get your fucking ears cleaned.
I'm sorry, what was that, Val? What did you say about my ears?
Said cut some of that fucking ear hair out. It blocks your ability to hear.
I'll do that, Val. That's great.
After the prodding from Marianne, he couldn't hold it any longer. Gilligan erupted.
Kapow!
And came at least two cups of semen directly at Ginger's quivering egg.
Dude, that's like $600 at the sperm bank. Cash that shit in!
That's way more than $600.
I saw a video of a guy when he jizzed. It was like a shot glass worth, so two cups.
The guy just deflated into a husk.
Most cum shots are about a teaspoon, or like half a teaspoon.
Yeah, that's the average.
Just a tissue's worth.
Not even.
The sight made Marianne squirt her own pussy juices into Ginger's womb. After catching their breath, the two left the egg in a pool of cum and made their escape.
It's pronounced escape.
Escape.
Going out was a lot easier than going in, probably because Ginger was now working with them. Wriggling out of Ginger's love canal, they now found it to be early evening. With towels waiting for them to wipe off Ginger's juices, the two turned and faced a now normal-sized Ginger, smiling up at them.
Wait.
Why did you two call for me? It's way too late tonight.
And you didn't use 10-10-220.
Well, Gilligan.
Use 10-10-220.
Ginger began... I never properly thanked you for what you did the other day. Neither you nor Marianne. So I want to thank both of you at the same time. But couldn't this wait until morning?
Was there a timer for them? Like, they had to get this done before they grew to normal size inside?
Oh yeah, it's the Sonic the Hedgehog drowning timer. You think you can breathe when you're crawled inside somebody's uterus? I don't think so. They had the friggin' bellows of the old style scuba tanks. The skipper's, like, working them so badly he's about to have a heart attack. It's a big cable coming out of Ginger's vagina. Anyways. Okay, go, Val.
Hey, let me put my glasses back on.
Ow.
Ow. Learn to take a hint, Gilligan, Marianne said as she wrapped her arms around him, her nude breasts squishing into his back.
Did you say nude or new?
Nude.
Sometimes both.
Naked.
She helped you knock me up, so now I will help you knock her up. Our cycles are pretty close, so this is the best chance. Okay.
That's how that works.
I'll see you late. Come on, Gilligan, Ginger began as she pushed him onto a chair. I want to give you thanks. She wants your baby, and you're not going anywhere until you slime her hole like you did mine.
Is slime a sexy word?
Slime my hole.
Yeah!
Like the ending to Ghostbusters 2.
With that, she unbuckled his pants and whipped out the large pulsating organ, stabbing the cold night air. There we go again with the stabbing. Reep, 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 reep. Hard to believe that he's packed this, eh, Marianne? Ginger remarked as Marianne circled around and positioned her hairy virginal pussy over the large cock. She leaned in and kissed him as she plunged Gilligan into her depths, a small trickle of blood escaping the opening.
You know what? That doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
No.
No. You, the whole thing, kneeling on the floor behind Marianne, getting an eyeful of Marianne's tiny pussy, swallowing Gilligan's lang like a champ, as both assholes twitch in pleasure.
Assholes.
All right.
It's the buffalo shot.
Lubricating her index finger with saliva, she slid it into Gilligan's prime asshole.
Optimus prime asshole?
No, it's Gilligan prime. You need to come as much as possible, so this will help, she said as she pushed up on a little knob in his rectum. As she fingered Gilligan's ass, she moved her face to Marianne's butt and licked her asshole as well. Oh, a rim job. All while fingering her own cunt. Oh man, she's talented.
Yeah.
Marianne was the first to explode. Kapow! With a stifled scream, an extraordinary amount of juice came out. Oh, she's a squirter.
Wait, juice came out?
Yes.
Ah, here they come again.
Literally.
This is the literal parting of the Red Sea.
Oh.
Coating her lovers and rhythmically opening her womb for the sperm presents that Gilligan just started to give? That's not how it works! With a pulsating pussy, balls, and assholes all around her, Ginger came too, wetting the sandy floor.
Sand gets everywhere.
Yeah.
It's coarse and rough.
It's not pleasant. It's not comfy. And it's not easy to wear. Pulling apart, Ginger gave Gilligan a little cuck on his cock. What? And carried Marianne to the bed where the girls fell asleep together.
Getting a little cock on your cock feels pretty good, so.
Gilligan, unsure of the situation, just pulled his pants up and left.
What was it, Dave, the other day we said sex is just various hard and soft things touching other hard and soft things?
Yes.
I mean, you could mostly describe all of reality in that way.
Yeah, I know. Just like sex. So reality is sex. Hey, we did it!
A few years later, and the little copper-haired girl and the raven-haired boy are running around the little encampment of huts, playing and helping the adults however they can, without even knowing that they are siblings.
Mm. Oh, no.
They're not going to say that? Ugh.
Well, here's the next story. Sean, you get to start us off with 53 Years Ago by Keltu 2X Cross. Summary, 53 years ago, on a night like this, cranky middle-aged men have sex again, and they question why.
Even with one arm hugging the bed from below, and one sole planted on the cold wooden floor, instead of a slippery carpet, Demo still feels he is too close to the edge of the bed.
Closer to the edge?
Perhaps he feels that way because of the frantic beating of his heart. But he couldn't discard the possibility of both his lover and himself crashing down. Faceplant could even say that by having none other than Soldier on top of him. The chance is greater. Too much thinking that, of course, wouldn't be happening if he was more drunk. Unfortunately, finding the right amount of alcohol that would numb him just enough, while also not ruining sex for long enough. Damn you, high alcohol tolerance is not a simple task. I mean, you shouldn't actually be drinking if you want to be having sex, because then you can't really consent properly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can end up with whiskey dick.
That as well. Demo attempts to scoot more to the left, to the left, to the right, to the right.
To the right.
One hop this time.
Trying to get more sideways. A hand lying down to his right, next to his face, stops him. Not only that, it takes him by surprise more than it should. Fuck, he shouldn't be acting as if he was a stupid fucking virgin. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with being a virgin.
Yeah?
No, he wouldn't be worrying this much if he bottomed more. Demo wouldn't need to worry about any of this idiocy if he bit the pillow more usually. But the truth is, he only craves getting pounded enough to actually look for that once in a blue moon. Oh, but when he does need it, craving again the sloppy kisses, the touching, all the things he adores that can still get from the usual sex, in special when somebody else is pleasing him.
However.
However.
I need one from Logan and one from Dave.
However.
No.
Indulging in other types of pleasure. Well, things can get lonely quickly.
Oh, Sean, don't talk about that now, please.
I was trying to move past it, but thank you for bringing it up, Steve-O. What about the moans? What about the breathing on the back of his neck?
Can't say spack.
Yeah, his spack. Spackle the ceiling. What about even drooling over him?
What about Bob?
Somebody sucking his dick and fingering him. Him can still moan. Yes, please. So when soldier's warm legs meet his own from behind, one knee on the bed and one foot on the floor, Demo bites his lower lip.
Demo bits.
Yeah, it's pronounced bits.
Shit. Demo bits his lower lip, eagerly sucking air. He smiles when the tip of his lover's cock brushes near his hole. Demo turns his head back, his eye meeting Solly's eyes briefly.
One hop this time.
Bam.
Two hops this time.
Bam, bam. Bam.
Three hops this time.
Bam, 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 bam.
I've never had this much control. I will revel in it. No longer.
Pie hops this time. Bell,
It's I hob.
I said pie hop this time.
No, I said I hop.
Which is why I did three and then point one irrational number.
Yuck, yuck.
Math jokes are funny.
Tav, mutters Soldier, in a rare way for him that sounds rather appealing. But then he removes his right hand from the bed. Don't. I'm not letting you fall off the bed. Soldier snaps this time, almost as he's reading Demo's mind. Soldier bends closer to Demo's ear to add, unless I do that on purpose.
Which I intend to.
Groaning, Demo throws his arm back to hit Soldier in the ribs, who's snickering, returning to his previous position later. The laughs of Soldier get muffled until eventually they halt as he pushes his cock forward.
You know, I think it's kind of nice to see Soldier being playful, but then it reminded me the last time Soldier got into a pillow fight, there were 47 fatalities.
Devil Man, eye closed, clings to the bed harder, all while humming more and louder than before. He almost doesn't notice when Soldier's right hand is back next to his head, while the other hand grabbing Demo by the shoulder.
The soldier!
I will grab you by the soul! The idiot could have perfectly... I can't read today.
It's okay.
The idiot could have perfectly used his left to put his dick... It's also not written well.
No, because it's sex.
But of course, that doesn't excuse it.
No, I'm not excusing it. I'm just explaining it.
Hmm. But of course he didn't. Thanks, Demo, as he swallows saliva. Soldier huffs, almost sounding drowsy.
And puffs.
And blows the house down.
Or smokes more pot.
He's about to blow Demo down.
Demo?
After he adjusts his body more, pushing Demo a bit forward, Soldier removes his left from Demo's shoulder to lean in. Soldier removes his left.
I believe in you.
Yeah. His left what? There's nothing there. his left hand, his left foot, his left ear? From Demo's shoulder to lean instead besides his lover's head. Right away, he rolls his hips. I'd rather roll a joint. Demo Man answering each thrust with a mixture of moans and whimpers.
You half sound like the keyboard earlier with Xavier playing it.
Oh, Xavier's first Casio? Yeah.
Yeah.
The Casios have gotten far more sophisticated, even the cheaper ones. Used to be, when I was growing up, cheap-ass Casios, you could only play like four notes at a time. Like simultaneously, it would cancel each other out. These don't seemingly have a limit. So when Xavier mashes his hands on the keyboard at max volume and he's on the orchestra hit, it is just noise. It just sounds like an explosion.
Kaboom.
It's beautiful.
Soldier steps up the pace, causing him to pant heavier. Demo Man throws a hand back once again. Yeah, like that. Demo repeats part of the sentence a few times, as if it was some kind of mantra, only that with someone with some moaning in between.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, like that. Yeah, like...
All right, Riley, go for it.
Okay. Demo Man perceives Soldier's breath behind him as Soldier leans lower. He takes a peek, glimpsing Soldier having his eyes shut and his face scrunched up, his mouth ajar. He's not...
The perfect time to just teabag him.
Oh.
This whole time, imagine Soldier with his helmet on. He doesn't have it?
No, of course he doesn't. Who has sex in a helmet?
The Soldier?
David immediately says, the Soldier?
Spy has sex with a mask on.
He also disguises himself as Tom Jones. Also, canonically, the Soldier is not seen without his helmet. Like, there's even a scene in the most latest comic in Team Fortress 2 where he is covered in grease, naked, except for the helmet.
I don't think it was grease. It was honey.
Was it honey?
Yeah.
Still, it was something.
Honey is not slick.
Viscous and sensual.
Okay.
Insulin.
Sean, did you say insulin?
Yeah.
Yes, it's heavy and viscous. Yes, so.
The brown insulin.
The brown insulin.
Do I want to know what the brown insulin is?
Last episode.
Listen to the previous episode.
Okay. Demo turns his face to the pillow again, moving the arm he was crushing with a bed frame below the pillow. To be more comfortable, goddamn, his arm now hurts. The last thing he's trying to do is conceal his noises. In fact, on the contrary, making sure his mouth not covered. Left-handed typing?
Yeah, it's not written very well.
All of these sudden, Soldier shifts back, now his hands grasping Demo by the waist, but that isn't enough for him.
Demo, I want to change positions.
I want photos of Spider-Man.
Solly also limits himself to not very passionate short bucks.
Deer.
A female deer. Wait, no, a male deer.
Abruptly, Demo Man propels himself on one of his elbows. He reaches back, this time going for the nape of Soldier. If they were having clothed sex, he would grab him by the fucking collar and pull. Is anyone else having a hard time trying to envision this? I'm just imagining a pretzel.
Yeah, it's messy.
Right hand, green.
Left hand, brown insulin.
No, you fucking don't, scolds Demo, wrinkling his nose and baring his teeth.
God fucking damn it, Tavish!
Soldier yanks Demo towards himself, resuming slamming his hips faster and faster with a frenetic intensity as he swears out loud. What kind of swear? I can't think of a swear.
Horse.
Horse. Demo Man, while grinning, shouts curses back, his elbows collapsing under himself. Gigantus in my pants!
What is he, Marasmus?
Sounds like a Harry Potter spell.
It doesn't matter that his head feels lighter. That's not good. Or the world going around them. Demo adds to the mix of swears and moans, calling out Soldier's name. The one in question quiets his cussing and loses his rhythm. After a moment, Demo listens to him bellowing. Whoa! I can't bellow.
Whoa! G.I. Joe!
Quiet. All of what Demo hears now is... Now it's most... It's both... Frantic respiration. Soldier grinds his hips a few more times before crashing down on top of Demo, who turns, giving him a quick peck, turns further to gently push Solly enough so he can lie on his back after being so long and prone.
It means on your stomach, if I recall correctly.
Oh, okay.
Face down, ass up. That's the way we like to fuck.
Yuck. God damn it, his lower back and his right leg hurts. Now face to face, their teeth click when they kiss.
Ow.
Yeah.
Because every time we touch, I get this feeling.
And every time I kiss, our teeth gonna fly.
Our teeth gonna fly?
Woo! That's what's happening, yeah, Steve.
Oh my god. Love is fucked up, man. I want to keep my teeth. Man, we're getting a divorce.
I mean, teeth are not a foreign weapon.
You can just remove your teeth.
I could just remove my teeth.
Yeah, teeth are technically not against the Geneva Conventions because you didn't manufacture them yourself.
Yeah.
A kiss with perhaps a tad too much drool, but who cares? Demo runs his hands all over Soldier's body, settling down in a tight embrace around his waist. Soldier props himself, staring Demo.
We're not done yet, son!
Demo Man gulps. The statement coming from his friend in this very context is more akin to the question,
are you tired yet, maggot?
Are you winning, son? Do you still have teeth?
I am okay if you're you big cream puff.
I thought you said I'm okay if you're Ukraine.
I mean, that's what Putin says right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright, what do you have in mind?
Soldier removes himself right away down off the bed. Standing in front of the bed's footboard, he gives a lecherous look to Demo. Without wasting more time, Soldier seizes Demo's ankles. Oh no, is it a wrestling move?
From the top rope, here comes Ukraine!
What a maneuver.
He drags Demo sideways with a single pull.
Executing the move, the Geneva Convention.
Oh.
He drags Demo sideways with a single pull, making him yelp to the same side of the bed they used to fuck, leaving Demo Man with his legs off the bed. Soldier isn't content until he's crouching in between the legs, contemplating Demo's half-hard dick. Yeah, I could use that. Demo babbles, smirking, using a phrase he only started to use once in America.
America!
Fuck yeah!
I'm gonna come up with this wrestling move, the Geneva Convention, and it will somehow involve teeth.
Oh, that's just Danhausen.
Sorry, what's that?
It's Danhausen.
No, my brother's name is Daniel, not Danhausen.
Well, clearly you're not a Fanhausen of Danhausen.
Yeah, you have to be a Fanhausen of Danhausen. Danhausen demands it.
You need to send him money so he can buy a solid gold house and a rocket car.
You need to be very nice and very evil.
Who is Danhausen?
Danhausen is one of the greatest wrestlers of our time.
Danhausen.
Former member of Warhausen.
He looks like a member of Baby Metal.
Yeah, and he's awesome.
Ooh, like yeah. Ladybeard sits to look at Soldier straight to the face, caressing his inner thighs with both hands. Soldier goes down Demo, whose blood's already running down to his crotch in anticipation, snickering all the way down. If someone laughs while going down to your crotch, is that sexy?
I mean, if you're into, like, clowns, sure.
No, I imagine Steve-O going down on Val and you hear, Steve-O, auto.
Meanwhile, I'm coming back up from down there.
I just slapped you.
That's the only way you can actually breathe properly.
Otherwise, I just pass out from the concerted effort of having sex.
Mm-hmm.
Laughter is contagious. Demo's own chortling only ends when Soldier's lips touch his foreskin, making his breath itch.
I call bullshit.
On foreskin?
Yeah, I doubt Soldier would have foreskin. Oh, wait, Demo's.
Soldier would absolutely have foreskin because he is canonically an orphan.
So do all orphans have foreskin?
Well, I don't know. They probably didn't circumcise him, though, because that's expensive.
No, it isn't.
I would imagine he does have foreskin, if only because that counts as his penis's helmet, and he needs to have equilibrium.
Penis helmet, yes.
I mean, that would make a lot of sense. Deep lore and all that.
I mean, he would just put a condom on for a helmet.
He's never unsheathed the foreskin, just like his regular helmet. It's always been up.
Oh.
He's got it tattooed and everything. And right underneath the tattoo of the helmet is a tattoo of little dog tags for his penis.
Oh. Demo closes his eye, facing up to the ceiling. He sighs at the tactile feeling of Soldier stroking his penis at the same time he rubs his tongue under his frenulum. Is that the, like, shaft? Lower
underneath the dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Underneath the head.
And that's it. Yeah. Another story we didn't get to finish because these page counts normally don't beat out properly. But thank you very much for coming. We hope you had a good time.
No problem.
There you go.
Oh, God.
That's what he has.
Oh.
No. Why does the gummy bear have a beer helmet?
I mean, why not?
It's weirdly cute.
Yeah.
Thank you very much to our patrons. In order, our smut secretaries, attention deficit party hearse. Hearse. Bosku, Discuss, Grass Dragon, Neon Binary Rose, Pestilence, Santa Grimnar, and William Shaprinsky. A super special thanks to our genital guardians, Angel Bane, Chirpy, Disambiguity, Flesh Dakimakura, Go Play in Traffic, Making My Pineapple Taste Like Jizz.
What?
The judge, the jury, and the exegutter, the men who stare at Goatsy, and two-time world heavyweight champion Thunder God Matthew J, and a super duper ultra mega ridiculo special that stopped posting penises with helmets. Thanks to our bull game beneficiaries, Advent Dawn, Cranky Pants McCumbucket, Evan Baumel,
illicit testicle sales. Put Naruto's vocal cords under a Christmas tree shaped Ouya that is in Steve-O's butt, you cowards. Sunny the Shark Fighter, Moonchild Extraordinaire, Terra's Wage, and Wooly! No! It's just a regular Wooly! There's no Mrs. Brisby's Boobus! Why? It's been doing that for like 7 months! I counted on it like the seasons!
Well, much like Mrs. Brisby herself, he got bored of it and went to a better furry.
Wow.
We are done.
Yeah.